Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yes, ask the GP. Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with us in studio this Monday afternoon to answer all of your health questions. You can get them in 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Nina, how's things? All good?
All good, yeah.
Yeah, loads of questions coming in today. And it's funny, you don't typically think of the summer as being that kind of peak flu and cold season, but I can see a lot of the messages coming in already. A listener tells me, I managed to get COVID for the very first time 2 weeks ago. What's the, like, should I just try and stay home, rest, fluids, or what's your best recommendation?
Yeah, no, I think COVID has really changed our seasonal view of respiratory viruses, because it just seems to be there is no season for respiratory virus anymore. They're around all the time. And, you know, the advice doesn't change whatever the virus is. COVID is a respiratory virus, just like flu is a respiratory virus. They're all highly contagious. OK, so, yes, you should absolutely stay home if you have COVID, particularly in the first sort of 5 days, because you would be very contagious to other people. So stay home. The usual advice, you know, if you have fever, you can take paracetamol, ibuprofen as you need to, rest, lots of fluids. You don't want to get dehydrated. And then obviously for people who are higher risk, you know, they may have other symptoms or they may need to be more careful. So, you know, COVID tends to hit people in different ways. I find some people it is very much their chest, their sinuses. Other people, like, it's their stomach. I mean, diarrhea is quite a common symptom of COVID, I think. So if you are coping okay with the symptoms you have, then what we call home measures okay. If you have any concerns, contact your GP. Obviously, don't just arrive in. I think if you think you've any kind of contagious disease, whether it's COVID, whether it's flu, whether it's a gastroenteritis, you would always ring and let them know you have those symptoms, and they will often direct you to a phone consultation first.
Okay.
But yeah, all the usual advice applies whatever time of year.
This listener says that they're 6 months post-radiation therapy for breast cancer on the right breast, Nina. They had 4 weeks of radiotherapy to their right breast as well. Could this now be the reason that my hair is falling out?
So I don't know that the radiotherapy is going to be the cause of your hair falling out. But in general, in times of illness and stress, you know, our skin, hair, nails are very subject to kind of changes in our health. And for, if the body's under stress, the body will kind of send everything it needs to its core services as such. So your pumping heart, your blood, your liver, your kidneys. So I often look and think, you know, sometimes when we've been chronically unwell, have we been eating as well as we should? Sometimes just really focusing on the nutrition you can do can help. But radiation, if it was to your chest, it shouldn't be directly to the hair, but there may be sort of changes in the body metabolically that are then leaving you a bit run down. And we know hair loss is more common when you're run down. But I wouldn't put it just down to that. So do go to your doctor. Do get some bloods done. Nutrition is a big part of hair health. Simple one is, you know, make sure you're getting enough protein in your diet for your skin, hair, nails and your body. And I always say there's this huge drive to take collagen and stuff. But when your body gets protein, it's not just going to send the collagen to your hair. Your body is going to send the protein it gets to where it needs it, collagen being one type of protein. But if collagen is your only protein in your diet, it's not going to your hair and nails. Your body's going to use it where it needs it. So in general, have a chat with your doctor. See, is there anything from nutrient point of view, anything from blood's point of view? And there are lots of things that we can prescribe to help people with their hair.
Listeners looking for advice for cradle cap for their son. What is that, first of all?
Cradle cap is just where you get like a buildup of skin cells. So particularly in babies, the skin can be quite moist. We can be using oils and like our skin is shedding all the time. But in cradle cap, it just doesn't shed as well. So you get these dead skin cells that build up. So a really simple old wives' tale is just olive oil onto the scalp to soften the scales and a really soft, very, very soft, gentle toothbrush just to brush on the scalp, just to loosen them and have them come off. Don't pick at it because if you pick away, it can get infected.
Yeah.
But it's not dangerous, and it can look awful and people get kind of upset about that.
So
moisturiser, olive oil to soften
it. Sort of home treatment.
And then a really, really soft, gentle toothbrush to loosen them over time.
Listener says they're really embarrassed, Nina. They're looking for your advice. They have very sweaty and smelly feet and find the summer in particular very embarrassing. They wash their feet every morning and evening in the shower, but it's still a real problem. I've stopped going to yoga classes as a result because I was too mortified and I'm wearing cotton socks and trainers. Any suggestions?
Smelly feet is very common and there are a couple of reasons. Obviously, a fungal infection is quite common. So, you know, fungus like a warm, moist environment. So obviously, if you sweat a lot, if you're wearing runners all the time and your feet sweat, you're going to get a buildup of fungus. A really simple treatment for that is buying something like Nizoral, which is actually an antifungal shampoo. You can use it to wash. You can also buy things like Caniston cream over the counter. And you can buy lots of creams for fungal infections of your feet. Okay, so that you can use them for those. Keeping the feet cool and dry. So do not wear the same runners every day. You need to open up your runners, let them dry. An old wives' trick I was told was get sort of pop socks and put cat litter into it. Stick it into that in the evening because the cat litter absorbs the moisture.
Right.
Don't wear the same shoes every day. Make sure your socks are cotton. There are some other conditions that require slightly more specialised treatment. So I always say to people, if you look at your feet, if they're sweating and smelly and you have these tiny, tiny, what almost look like little dots and holes in the feet, that actually can be a bacterial infection. And there are antibiotic creams and occasionally tablets that we prescribe to treat that. So again, don't be embarrassed. Go along to your doctor. Mm. There's lots of treatment for that.
Listener says their period comes every 3 weeks. Their last cycle was 23 days. It feels so frequent. My own doctor has suggested the pill, but I came off it as I didn't feel like myself and we were happy to use contraception. Should I be worried about how frequent my periods are? I'm now in my mid-30s and I have no kids.
No, so we talk about somebody's cycle. So we say like a typical cycle is 28 days. But for some people, a typical cycle is 21 days. And for some people, a typical cycle is 30 days. So if this is what your cycle has been all the time, if the period itself, when it comes, is not, you know, overly painful or heavy or, you know, not having clots, not having bleeding between periods or after sex, they're all the things that we consider abnormal. But if it is just a period that comes, lasts 2 to 5 days, is maybe a little heavy the first few days and kind of, you know, lighter over the next few, is not painful, and that's probably just your regular cycle. I guess the only thing I would look at is if it's happening slightly more frequently, just make sure, you know, your iron and everything is okay in your blood, because obviously the more frequent that happens, and depending on how heavy it is, you could be low in iron. But go have a chat with your doctor. The pill is good because you can run packs together. So you can decide not to have a period every month if you want to on the pill. So if the pill is suited to you, it's certainly a good way of controlling them.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number for your questions for Dr. Nina Burns this Monday afternoon. Listeners looking for help, Nina, managing their anxiety. They've tried CBT but still feel constantly anxious and they worry continuously as well. Their husband says they should go back to the doctor, but they're not sure how I feel about taking medication.
This is a hard one, isn't it? So a lot of people really struggle with anxiety and then they almost feel like if they take medication, it's a failure. So first of all, it's not a failure. Anxiety is incredibly common. Lots of people suffer from it. Do go back to your doctor, because the CBT is one arm of treatment. But I always say to people, there are several arms of treatment. So therapy being one. You know, I talk all the time about lifestyle and diet and stuff like that, that being another, getting outside, socializing. But medication is an arm of treatment, a very important arm in some people. And while we don't always go to it first, it can really be life changing for people when the right medication is used. You know, the newer medications we use for anxiety, they're not like the older ones. People don't get horrific side effects. You don't get addicted to the newer medicines that we use for anxiety. And usually you're not on them forever, you know. So I would go back and talk, because you shouldn't be feeling anxious every day. It has a huge impact on your quality of life. And we know that being stressed and anxious has an impact on your health over time.
This listener, Nina, says it's a man in his 50s. He says, I've just been feeling really run down recently. I'm sleeping okay, I'm eating well, I'm exercising, but I am exhausted. Is there any vitamins or supplements you think that I should try and take to boost my energy?
So I think I talk a lot about supplements, don't I? I always use the word they are supplements. So they are not, you know, a substitute for obviously eating all that you need to eat, getting enough rest, getting exercise. But if you really feel that you're doing all you need to do and you're still not feeling great, I would definitely go along to your doctor, get your bloods checked. You know, bloods can be within normal. I'm kind of particular about them. I don't like them just barely normal. I like them within normal, decently within normal. So I often do recommend supplements to people if their bloods are just about there or if they're low. You can buy some very good supplements. You don't have to spend a fortune to have a really good supplement. I think that's important to say. But, you know, I personally feel certain supplements suit certain people. So I'm quite particular in the ones I recommend to people. But I'm sure you can have a chat with your doctor about what's needed and what might help. B vitamins, particularly when you're feeling tired, B vitamins are often one to look at. Iron is one to look at when you're feeling particularly tired. And I know I say it all the time, but protein is very important in your diet. I know we're all talking a lot about it with the gym, but the fact is, with most people, when I talk to them, they are not getting the basic amount of protein they need, which at a minimum should be 1 gram per kilo body weight per day. If you are not getting enough protein, your body is struggling to do what it needs to do. So I'm not saying go off and eat 2-3 grams per kilo per day. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, when I sit down and talk to people, the majority of people are not getting the basic that they need.
This listener is quite concerned, Nina, about their teenage daughter. She's fainted twice in the last month. She's 15. We got her bloods checked. They said it was fine. She was at home on both occasions when this happened, but I'm worried now that something could happen again when she's out. Why does somebody just faint randomly?
So you shouldn't faint just randomly. Yeah. I think that's important to say. Vasovagal is the most common type when people's blood pressure suddenly drops. So, you know, someone stands up suddenly, some people are prone to blood pressure dropping. But, you know, when people start fainting, there are a number of checks we do. Bloods being one, a baseline tracing of the heart, an ECG being another, a physical exam listening to the heart, talking about the full history. Particularly in young girls, iron is an important one there. So I want to make sure the iron is not just kind of barely normal. It needs to be well within normal. And rather than just checking a hemoglobin, I would usually check the iron reserves there. So there's a whole load of questions I want to ask that girl. So I would say you should go to your doctor and really have a detailed consultation. And look, in the majority of cases, it turns out to be nothing. It can be simply making sure you drink more fluids, not standing up suddenly from lying down, things like that. But it's important to check out.
And just finally, for the moment, this listener says, I have chronic itching between my legs. It's from a male listener. I don't oversweat. I've tried many creams, tablets to find to help the problem. I often find, though, that it's worse at night. It can cause bleeding from the scratching without the itch ever been satisfied. Please help. It's extremely embarrassing and I can't have a normal day without worrying about it. That must be very stressful.
It's
for
very
that.
Stressful, yeah. But very common in men. So it's called intertrigo. Usually it's where they get it in the groin at the front, and it's a fungal infection, not that different to what causes nappy rash in babies. Okay, so the keeping, again, like we said, keeping the area cool, dry. So, you know, wearing cotton underwear, loose boxers, making sure, for some men I say take a hairdryer in low heat and actually dry in the groin after you've had a shower, just to make sure the area is quite dry. There are creams you can use. If the itch is at the back passage, particularly if it's at night, that can be a sign of worms. So if this person has children, pinworm is a very common cause of an anal area itch, particularly at night. And you can buy over-the-counter tablets to treat that, so you can talk to your pharmacist. But that is a, you know, cause of nocturnal itch that people often don't think about.
So that's a GP visit, really.
Well,
is
you can actually go to the pharmacist. You can buy that medication over the counter.
So and try that first.
If you have an itch at night in the anal area, it is definitely worth considering taking medication for worms. Now, the whole family has to take them if you do.
Okay. All right. Listen, Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. Nina, thanks a million for coming in today to answer listeners' questions. You can get more from Nina on X at Dr. Nina Burns and check out the website as well. It's generationhealth.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.